I was saying in the old days, we were always doing things, and we'd say, get ready. And I said, I hate getting ready. I stay ready to keep from having to get ready. Lord's coming back.
Yeah, you go. Amen.
You do well to stay ready.
Amen.
Say, well, I'm saved. Yeah, I hope you got a clean slate. I hope you prayed up, confessed up. Do we have a mic over there, Mrs. Wonderful? Yes? No? Hello?
It's here.
It's there. It's like me, they give me a mic, they don't give me batteries. Looks very professional. Hope that's not me. Oh, I got this. I got double. What's that, stereo? It's her. I'm worried about her.
I can't tell if it's on.
Tap it.
Are you ready?
Tap it harder.
Yeah.
Does it work?
It's worth it.
Turn it up, I think. Right?
Everybody can hear better than me on it.
Yeah, it's working.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Don't break stuff. We'll take it out. Written by 20.
24-year-old precious saint in Los Angeles named Naomi Pena, daughter of a pastor of a little church in La Fuente, and loved the Lord, and came to a meeting I was preaching in L.A. a couple months ago and saying that. She just written it. I tell you what, man, it spoke to my heart. And I said, Naomi, can I have the words? And she sent us, this is what young people do. Old people like me, they write out, scribble it out, and you try to decipher. Young people, they email it to you with the words, with the chords, with an audio file, so you can... I'm impressed by young people that sell out and purpose in their heart they're going to do right and live for God. Sometimes we get hung up on all those that have gone astray, but everybody ain't going astray.
That's right.
Pray the Lord can come back. The Lord made it easy for that, but my utmost respect is for young people that are raised with that book and have the integrity and the courage.
Amen.
To just stand and live for
Jesus.
Amen.
You better wait, finding out the hard way, like some of us did. Now, way to go. Amen and amen. Take a Bible now. Go to 2 Kings chapter 20. 2 Kings chapter 20. I made a note to give a pardon update. So I tell Brother Billy that I don't need a mic. I have one in my pocket.
Should we sing it again? Can you hear me now? Amen. So I made a note to give a pardon update. Now I applied for a presidential pardon. You guys know about that. And maybe some of you prayed about it. And every once in a while somebody asked me about it. And so I haven't heard. Yeah, I'm figuring that President Biden will get in touch with me any minute now. Or maybe that woman. What's her? I don't, it doesn't. We haven't heard, but I'm still on the list. It's pending. Amen. I've been through all the process. Went through 2.5 hours with the FBI at my house. They wanted to interview me. I said, why don't you come to my house? You want to see who I am? You don't have to worry about the story that I'm going to tell you. Why don't you come to my home and see who Dave Spurgeon has become because of Jesus Christ? And the wonderful witness that I had with this guy was worth it all. Amen. When it got to the end, he's been asking me questions. And I finally said, I got a question for you. Well, yes, sir, Mr. Spurgeon. Well, I said, do you know where you're going to go when you die? It was like turning the tables. It's kind of, after all this time, it was still a little intimidating. And then he started, well, you know, I just, and it was funny to see him cringe a little. On the website, the Department of Justice website, under my case file, it says pending. Now, it could say granted, that's what I'm, that'd be cool. But it could say denied, and it doesn't. And when I got deeper into trying to figure out their website, there's a lot of people that have applied for pardons. So I don't know where I am. There's no, it's submitted, it's in there. It doesn't matter who the president is, doesn't matter about election, doesn't matter. You don't have to redo it. So who knows? It's not really pending, it's depending. If God wants me to have it, I'll have it. And if he doesn't, so what? I'm glad I got the main one mentioned over in Isaiah 55. Amen. All right, so that's the update. Please pray. If you think about it once in a while, you know what? It's cool that there's a lot of hymns that have that word pardon in it. So every time you see that, think, please pardon Brother Spurgeon. Okay. 2 Kings chapter 20, verse number 1. The Bible says this. In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death, and the prophet Isaiah the son of Amos came to him and said unto him, thus saith the Lord, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Amen. And that's pretty rough news. Amen. That's no hope there. You know, you're going to die. You're sick. Yeah, I'm worried about dying. Don't worry. You are going to. Amen. And he wasn't the last one to get
that kind of news. People have been getting it ever since, usually from a doctor, maybe. But verse 2 says this, and then he turned his face to the wall and prayed unto the Lord, saying, I beseech thee, O Lord, remember now how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. Now, he got some rough news. He got a terminal diagnosis. The prophet of God came in and even preceded what he had to say with some pretty powerful words. Thus saith the Lord. When your Bible says, thus saith the Lord, you can take it to the bank. Yeah. All right? So he got that, and you can't just get around the fact that his first response was spiritual. His first response to getting that news was to pray, was to talk to God. I just got to be honest with you. There have been incidences in my life where my first response wasn't spiritual. Amen. And his second response was human, carnal, whatever you want to. He wept. We usually get it backwards. First we weep first, and then we cry out to God. Not Hezekiah. That's a good example. Like Job, he didn't get mad. He didn't blame God. Amen. And Job got some bad news. I mean, everything he had, oxen, ass, and sheep, camels were stolen, servants killed, and lost all his kids in the same day. And boy, Job chapter 1 verse 22 said, in all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Amen. All right, so rather than, again, charge God foolishly, Hezekiah didn't do that. He prayed, and he reminded God that he had walked in truth with a perfect heart and done that which is good in thy sight. And let me say to you, that's the testimony you want to have when the rough news comes. Amen. Instead of trying to remember all those things you should have done and never got around to, or all the promises that you made that you should have kept, or all the sin that you should have been confessing but you didn't. That's not the kind of things you want to be going through and remembering when something like that comes. Wouldn't it be good to have a testimony like Hezekiah? Yeah. Amen. So he said he prayed there. We saw that in verse 3, thank you. And verse 4 says this, and it came to pass, Isaiah was gone out of the middle court, gone out into the middle court, that the word of the Lord came to him, saying, turn again and tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, thus saith the Lord, the God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer. I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will heal thee. On the third day thou shalt go up into the house of the Lord. We got a prayer hearing God. Yeah, amen. Amen. Prayer moves God. Amen. And it said he heard his prayer. It also says there, it said, I have seen thy tears. I just wonder when the last time he saw any of yours. I wonder when the last time he saw God's people weep because of a burden for a soul. Usually the only time Christians tear up is when they get busted. When they're caught dead to rights, wrong, and then all of a sudden they, you follow what I'm saying?
Amen.
Amen. It says, I've seen thy tears and, behold, I will heal thee. So his answer was that he would heal him. Let me ask you, are you saved tonight?
Amen.
Did the Lord heal you then of your biggest problem?
Right.
All right. And me too. And then he also told him this, on the third day thou shalt go up into the house of the Lord. It's essentially, he said, like, okay, take a couple days off, rest, take it easy, but on that third day, you go to church. Amen. So they told him to do, go up into the house of the Lord. I mean, if you're saved here tonight, it's because God healed you, and it is not unreasonable that he asked you to go to church.
Amen.
It just makes perfect sense to me, to her, to some of you. But it amazes me the people that it doesn't seem to make sense to. Amen. So you got Hezekiah. He does well. The Lord, he finishes with a promise in verse 6. And I will add unto thy days 15 years, and I will deliver thee and this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria. And I will defend this city for mine own sake and for my servant David's sake. And right about there, I'll bet you that Hezekiah was really glad that he had walked in truth and done that which was good. I'll guarantee you, you will be too. If you do. Amen. All right, so I'm going to pray in a minute. Recently, a dear pastor friend died suddenly. On Wednesday afternoon in his office preparing for service. The song service started as usual, and the preacher would usually make it in by the first song, and he didn't. They sang again, and he didn't. They sang a couple extra, and they didn't. And finally, they went and broke down the door, and he had had a heart attack several hours previously. And he was a young man, early 60s, good health and all that, but it happened. It does happen. That was a well-established church in a place where it was definitely needful to have the Word of God in a very heathen place. And a church that had over 100 people, 120 people. I preached there several years. And when he passed away, that church went from over 100 to 20 in very short order. And the reason for that was simple. They had no plan in place for the in case of the unexpected. Amen. To me, that's out of order. I mean, by the grace of God, that church survived, and not every church does. And they now have a good man there, and they are slowly rebuilding. But sadly, many churches do not have a plan in case the unexpected happens and things happen. Preachers die suddenly. Amen. People get sick. We know people that died of COVID. I go to parts of this country where they say it was a government plot, and I go to another part of this country where they buried loved ones. Amen. And not just, I hate to bring this up, but I've been in places where the pastor just flat out got into sin. And it happens. But the church of the living God has to go on. And I think it's important to have a plan in place for the unexpected. That's what came to mind when I read through there where it set their house in order. I watched this church trying to recover, trying to survive because a very important aspect wasn't in order. Amen. I'm going to preach tonight this title, Out of Order. Hezekiah was told, set thine house in order. And it looked like he had some things together. But evidently, if the Lord told him that, something needed some spiritual attention. Amen. You might have some things very much in order. Praise the Lord. Many of you have been here, what is this, fifth day in a row? Amen. But we're not assuming that we don't have things that need spiritual attention. Amen. That would be foolish. If you ever assume that, that is something that needs some spiritual attention. Amen. You're putting your trust in the flesh. Amen. And so, out of order. That's our message tonight. Father, I love you. Thank you for just letting us assemble here tonight, and the folks that have come, the songs that we sang, the victory that is yours, and we get to get in on it. Thank you, God, for saving us and still being in the saving business. Somebody in here tonight's not saved. I pray you would make it easy for them to see they need to get saved. It's good to turn over a new leaf. It's good to clean up your act. It's good to forsake bad habits. It's good to get in church. It's good. All that's good, but none of that gets a person into heaven. Only the blood that we sang about will do that. And I pray if there's somebody in here tonight and they're in here because they're really trying to straighten their life out, God, I pray they get a hold of the fact they need to get their eternity straightened out and the rest of the things could fall into place much easier. Help me to say what you'd have said, Lord God, be it comfortable for me or the hearers or not. Just may you be pleased. And may you be pleased with our response. And I love you tonight. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right, so in verse 1, Hezekiah was told, he'd been given notice that he was going to die. And according to Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27, so is everybody in here. The Bible said, and as it is appointed unto man once to die, amen, but after this the judgment. So let me ask you this, if you were told that you had a short time to live, what would you do? What would you do different? I mean, I got plans for tomorrow. I got places that I intend to be next week, next month. But if I got that notice, if I got as much notice as he did, I'd probably rethink some things. I'm asking you to consider that too. And maybe just we should start with this right here. Thinking about what may need to be done to set our house in order. Because like Hezekiah, he said, you're going to die. And so are we. We have an appointment with it. Amen. And I'm glad I know where I'm going and all that, but I want to go out right. I want to go out right for the glory of Jesus. Don't you?
Amen.
All right. So Amos chapter 4 and verse 12 says this. I'll just read down to you. It says, verse 12 said, therefore thus will I do unto thee, O Israel, and because I will do this unto thee, prepare to meet thy God, O Israel. So let me say first, if you're not saved, amen, your spiritual house is not in order, regardless of what you got going for you in this life, what your standing, your status, doesn't matter. If you're not saved, you are not prepared to meet God, and you're going to. It's not a maybe. You're going to meet him. You're going to meet him as Savior, or you're going to meet him as Judge. Could I recommend the Savior thing? That book said it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. I'm glad. You know why I'm not worried about falling into the hands of the living God? Because according to John chapter 10, I'm already there. Are you saved tonight?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And so, if you're not, Jesus said you must be born again, and he meant it. So if you're not, that's what you need to get in order while you can. And you can. Paul and Silas told that Philippian jailer, one time I said Filipino jailer, and that's just how it works for me. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And thank God he made it simple. I've noticed that mankind makes it hard. Religion makes it complicated. It's not complicated. Getting your sins forgiven is not complicated. But it is imperative. And it didn't. So if you're not, we're talking about getting your house in order. If you're not saved, your house is not in order. And that's what you need to address.
Amen.
I'm telling you. Amen. And we'll stop this train right now. And you raise your hand and you want information on how to get your sin forgiven. I guarantee you we got men, women. There's teenagers in this room that'd be happy to go off the side with you and you can get that taken care of. You don't have to wait. We're not even that ritualistic around here. We'll do anything we need to. Amen. Brother Billy will take you out for Whataburger after.
Sure will.
Maybe. Probably. Can I go? Amen.
Amen.
In a heartbeat. You hear me? I tip at the drive-thru window. My wife and I have gotten a habit of putting a couple dollars with a gospel track when we go through a drive-thru, like late at night on the way home from church. And hey, you know, I appreciate you working, and here's a couple bucks, get a cup of coffee. So let me tell you what, and man, the track is received, the witness is received, so I wasn't going to confess this, but last night, did I talk about Taco Bell? Last night, I mean, down there by my campground, Taco Cabana, did I say it right? There it is, amen, and I told my, come on, let's go through there, and we go through there, yeah, I know, probably not good, huh, and That's okay. We're gringos. We don't care. So, so I go through there, and there's a gal. She's at the thing. She was nice. And we give her a couple bucks and a track and start talking to her. And she was real sweet. She said, yeah, I'm in town. I'm from Ohio. She goes, yeah, I could tell you were from somewhere. And we're witnessing to her and she was really receptive. I said, are you saved? She said, no, but I've been thinking about it. I've been wanting to get saved. My boyfriend and I, we're trying to find a church. And I'm like, all I got is my tracks. I don't have anything with this church name. I said, I don't even know the name of this church. I've been coming here 10 years. I said, there's a church at 602 Oak Knoll. I got that memorized. And yeah, gatherers in Jesus' name or something like that. And I got to write that down. And I'll tell you what, man, when I leave here tonight, I'm going right back to that taco cabana. I'm going to go inside because I don't think I'm ever going to order another one of them. And I've got your flyer. Oh, yeah, man. And I ain't leaving home without them. I mean, I'm getting more. We're folding them up in there. Listen, there's people out there who want to get saved. Amen. So, let me get back over here and find out what I was talking about before I confessed I went to taco cabana. Amen. It says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And then the verse says, and thy house. We're talking about setting your house in order. And you may be saved in here tonight. And I hope you are, and many of you are. But how's your house doing? Listen, setting your house in order. Amen. Might mean making sure your family members are saved. Amen. And you know what people say all the time, Brother Spurgeon, I've tried. And I don't doubt you have, but I'm going to say this. You better try again. You better try again. You better try as hard, as long as you need to. Amen. You can't browbeat nobody into nothing. That just causes them to go the wrong way. First, you got to set a good example. Amen. Maybe kindness would be a good. Amen. But I had a lady say, "What? My loved one's already in the far country." Yeah. I've been there. You know what my mother's strategy was? I mean, she tried. She set a great example. And I would come by and I'd hang my colors up. I'd put my pistol on the refrigerator. I tried to show respect. Amen. And she'd say something about David. And I went, look, Mom, I'm telling you, if you come, tired of all that Jesus stuff, I'm not going to even want to come around. What a horrible thing to say to your mother. And I've repented of it. So I tell you what, she said, okay. And she quit talking about the Lord to me. I'll tell you what she did. She went over my head. Yeah. And for 20 years, she prayed,
amen,
have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic. I'm pretty sure that's how she prayed it. And my mom and dad too, saved folks. And they prayed and they prayed. Amen. First thing I did when I got saved is wrote them a letter right from jail. I tore all the stupid stuff on my legal pad off. You know, as all them convicts are all lawyers. Well, if they are so stinking smart, what are they doing in jail? Amen. I tore all that away and I wrote to my mom. I said, I'm so sorry. That book says the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And she not only prayed fervently, she stayed right enough with God to get her prayers answered, to get her prayers through. It does say righteous man. Amen. So if you got a burden for a family member, amen, that isn't saved, whether they're in the far country or the far bedroom, you need to understand that you're going to have to live your life. You're going to have to conduct yourself at a standard that they can't find fault with.
Amen.
I mean, if you really want them to get saved. We live in a day and age where most people are more concerned about, you know, doing what they want to do. Well, you can do what you want to do, and then you keep coming to class on Sunday, and you'll find out about the judgment seat of Christ. But if you want to set your house in order, you'll get a burden for your lost family members. Amen. Amen. All right, so And so that's first things first is salvation, to even think about getting your house in order. But let's break it down. It says set. Okay, those words. Set thine house in order. Set, it means there's deliberate action required. That's a verb. I remember that from like Little House on the Prairie days. Amen. Your house will not set itself in order. Amen. As a matter of fact, on its own, it will devolve into disorder. I may have given this illustration before here. I live by Wright-Patterson Air Force Base. And a magnificent museum, if you ever get up there at the Air Force Museum. And in the gift shop, they got this big money thing, money maker. It's a big funnel is what it is, yellow, about 3 feet around. Got a little place on each side where you put a coin, like a quarter. And, it's a big funnel and it goes down. It's about that tall. And it goes down about that big. And then you put a quarter in there, a nickel. They want quarters. And, give it a little shove and that thing just makes its way around that. And it defies gravity and it's really cool to look at. And then, as that thing starts getting narrower, it starts moving faster. And when it gets that last foot of that thing, that quarter is spinning so fast you can't even see it. And that's the way society's going, buddy. It is a blur how fast things are going down. Kind of like when you flush a toilet. Oh, I didn't want to say that, but I did. Okay. Amen. And so you're going to have to make an effort to set your house in order. It's not going to happen by itself. And maybe you better start consider the things that I'm going to say tonight and start taking the necessary measures, because like Hezekiah, you're going to die. Amen. Thine. It says set thine. Thine. That's a pronoun. There's a lot of, people are talking about pronouns. I don't even understand all that. I don't want to, so don't come and tell me later. But I know what thine means. Thine means yours. Amen. It means yours. It not somebody else's. Doesn't say for you to set somebody else's house in order. It means yours. I was in Orlando preaching last February. And there's a guy that got saved in prison. He'd been coming to church a couple months. And he had a living Bible. Yeah, he had a living Bible. And he was a good guy. He really got saved. And the preacher said, he's doing good. He's paying attention. He's taking notes. But he has a living Bible. And I said, okay. And he said something to me. He said, my mother, when I wrote to my mother that I got saved, she was so happy. And she gave me this Bible and had his name put on the front and everything. And it was precious to him and it was special to him. And he was holding on to it. And the preacher hadn't had the liberty to, tell him what we would tell him. And so I knew that about it. I preached about fourth day. I walked back there and I'm talking to him because I'm connecting with the guy. I'm trying to encourage him. I believe you can make it.
Amen.
Amen. And I said, what's that? Let me see your Bible, man. And he said, yeah, my mother gave me this. And he has it to me. It's got his name on it and everything. Real nice. And I said, let me ask you something. Have you ever noticed that, cause I see when I'm preaching, you're turning, and learning your way around. I said, have you ever noticed that when your preacher's preaching that your Bible doesn't say what he's saying? He goes, yeah. I said, isn't that kind of confusing? He goes, yeah, I've thought about that. I said, well, it's really as simple as getting a King James Bible and then you'd be able to follow along. He goes, yeah, but I have a problem with the King James Bible. I looked at it and I know what he's going to say because they say it all the time. I said, what's the problem? He says, those old fashioned words. And I said, okay, I know where we're going. I says, like what? He goes, the these and the thous. Isn't that what they always say? The these and the thous. And I said, well, let me help you with that. He goes, okay. I mean, he trusted me. And I said, it means you. And he went, really? And I said, yeah, it just means you. Amen. He went, wow, you're kidding. Well, I should get a King James Bible. And the preacher's walking by. I said, hey, preacher. I said, we need a, anyway, no problem. He went right in the room. I said, take this living Bible that your mother gave you. I know it's special to you. Take that thing home. Put it on a shelf. But when you're coming here, bring the word of God that the preacher's preaching from and everybody. And that was it, man. That's all it took for him to, amen. It says, set thine house. Brother Brian hit it on Sunday morning where it talks about the mote in your brother's eye and the beam in your own eye. And the Lord Jesus Christ said, thou hypocrite. Okay, let me say it right because I don't want you to get on the internet saying spurt. No. Thou hypocrite, first cast the beam out of thine own eye and then thou shalt see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. You don't have any business trying to set somebody else's house in order. But maybe if you'd set your own in order, your good example might help somebody else get theirs in order. Amen. And could I remind you there's some urgency to this thing? Your house needs to be in order today. Alright? This ain't something you put on the to-do list. Oh, that's an interesting thought. I'll put it in my notes on my phone and the devil will make your phone go blank. We quote it all the time. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. So I'm trying to encourage you to think about what I'm saying and address it immediately. Let me give you an example. So I'm going to go. Well, this is what I do. I try golfing. That is like doesn't make any sense to me. And I tried fishing. Fish laugh at me. I'm serious. My friends can be catching fish. And I'm like, what is that noise?
Spurgeon, there ain't no way I'm getting on that hook.
So I can't fish. Hunting's kind of out of the question, being a federal convicted felon. Amen. So I found, you know, what I could do to kind of blow the cobwebs out. And so I just, you know, got a Harley. Oh, am I having fun. Boy, is it fun to have a nice motorcycle and go out to ride without all the baggage, without being followed, without being worried about being pulled over. Amen. And I'm not saying I never get pulled over because I still got a heavy foot, but I stop and give police officers tracks. I do. Amen. So I got this motorcycle and I don't get to ride it much because obviously I tried to get my wife to give up the bedroom. So, but she wouldn't in the motorhome. So we leave it at home. I'll schedule a ride. You know, once or twice a year. And 2 years ago, I think it was, I had like 12 days in July. We got home from Bismarck, North Dakota. We're coming home from Bismarck, North Dakota. And she's going to be with the grandkids, so she don't care where I am. And I'm going to ride. And I'm going to ride to the Redwood National Forest from Dayton, Ohio. It's 3,000 miles. And alone, most of it. No problem, and I'm looking forward to it, and everything's ready. And on that 1,500-mile drive home from Bismarck, my wife said something to me she had never said to me before. She says, I want to know where all the passwords are, all the insurance papers, all the medical. I want, because I take care of that stuff. And she says, I want to know, in case something, I says, I'm coming back. She says, nope, it's time. I need to know. And I didn't want her to, there's a little credit card debt, you know, I was trying to get paid off for it. She found out about. And so here's what I did. I'm not looking at her right now, you can tell. And here's what I did. I printed out all the passwords. I got all the paperwork in a lockbox. I printed out all the passwords. I put an envelope, said, these are all the passwords. I licked the envelope. I put it in a box. I said, now if I get killed, you can open this. And I'll be dead, so don't, if she's mad, doesn't matter. Amen. And I made it home. And I'll tell you what, on short order, I cleaned up every stinking debt we had. And that provoked me to realize there were some places in my life that weren't in order. And I don't want anything that I'm afraid of her seeing. Amen. Now I feel like turning the whole bill thing over to her. Amen. But you know what? Let me just say it like this. Does your spouse know what to do if something happened to you? If you dropped dead? And it ain't just the husband and the wife thing. I know a lot of, even preachers, their wives take care of all that. Their wives pay the bills. Their wives handle the money. Amen?
Amen.
And well, maybe you're a lady that does that in your home, and that's fine. You probably do a better job than we do. But, something happened to you. Is anybody going to know what to do? These are the things that we need to think about. I mean, we've had family members die suddenly, and so have you. And the nightmare of trying to sort stuff out would be better to deal with beforehand, wouldn't it? Well, that's what we're talking about. Setting your house in order. Thine house, your house. And it needs to be done because we have no promise of tomorrow. It's set in order. Set thine house in order. And let's face it, this world, and it's not getting better, it's getting busier. Sometimes things get out of order. And for a child of God, we get our time priorities out of order. I know Christians that make time for their friends, make time for work. I mean, we'll go to work. Make time for hobbies. And then seems like not make time for God.
Right. Yeah.
Not make time for prayer. The boss wants you in at 7, you know, and you got traffic to deal with. You don't have time to pray. You don't have time to read your Bible. But boy, you're going to make it to work for Pharaoh. Amen.
Amen.
Well, look, you might need to make some. Listen, you can work as much as you want or you need to. But maybe you should quit watching that late show. Maybe you should go to bed a little earlier so you can get up a little early. You know what I'm saying? Because things get out of whack. It does me. We get so busy and I'm going, week goes by and, you know, I got a list and I don't get to everything on my list. And we ought not let this life get too busy for God because the devil will let it make it if he can. And we see that in our church. I mean, I'm preaching revivals week in and week out. And there was a time where if your church was having a meeting, you didn't have to tell people they need to be there. They wanted to be there.
Yeah.
Well, now we're preaching. Preachers are embarrassed that we'll have a meeting on a schedule and half of their members don't even bother to come. Oh, Sunday and Wednesday, like every other. Amen. We get too busy.
Amen.
You get too busy for God, you're
Amen.
Too busy.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. That needs to be, you know, and we just get, and I tell you what happened, you let that thing go, and you let that thing go, next thing you know, you'll be 70 years old, and you'll have more regrets than I will. Amen. Time's flying. People make time for their friends, but sometimes not for their own family, not for their own kids. I just want to tell you, that's out of order.
Right.
That's out of order. Money gets out of order. Amen. Money in a Christian's home, people seem to find money for the things they want to do, but then they have a hard time when the kid needs shoes or the mama needs a new stove or the list goes on forever. And in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 8 says, but if any provide not for his own, especially for those of his own house, it doesn't say exclusively, but it does say especially. Especially those of his own house, he had denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. You've got responsibilities.
Amen.
Amen. And that gets out of order sometimes. You got to just stop and grind everything to a halt and get things sorted out and get the horse back in front of the cart and things like that.
Amen.
Money gets out of hand and we got money for nice houses and new trucks, but we can't seem to support our missionaries or give to the work of God. That's out of order. You're laying up treasure on the wrong side.
Amen.
Amen. So that's out of order. Now that's easy. This is where it's going to get a little rougher for some of you. Maybe. If there's things going on in your house or at your house that aren't what they should be, that's out of order. Your house is out of order. And this is your wake-up call tonight. You wouldn't believe I had lunch yesterday with two sailors, old Vietnam sailors, old salts. my buddy at home told me when I sent him the picture. And you know what? I appreciate the United States Navy, but the Navy has a saying that the Army doesn't have, and it's called a shot across the bow. I like that. It's a warning shot. We did not do warning shots. But that's what this message might be for somebody in here tonight. A little wake-up call. I mean, I'm glad you're here. Y'all look nice. If there's something that's not in order, I pray the Holy Spirit bears witness to whatever area it is so that you'll consider getting your house in order, because you're going to give an account. Amen. And you don't wait till it's too late. Amen. So this may be for the men. Nothing I'm going to say next is exclusive, because we're all capable of it. But the Bible says, and be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven us. And that's Ephesians 4:32. And it says, be ye kind. Now, I got saved out of a rough background, and that's no excuse for nothing, but I don't have the same viewpoint as my wife. And one of the things that she, I don't want to say throws in my face, because surely Mrs. Wonderful would never, one of the things that she's mentioned often is that I'm not kind. And I'm going, what? I don't get it, you know. And so my friends, preacher friends, we're not touchy-feely, except for Joel. He likes to hug. But usually, you know, we're kind of straight. But look, let me tell you something, men. Women ain't men.
Yeah, amen. That's right. Amen.
And women need kindness. I don't get it. They just do. She tells me that all the time. Children need kindness. And that gets out of order. Especially when that's King James, bless God, militant, Bible believer. Hey, look, man, it is the Bible that I just quoted. I'm talking about Pauline. It is the Bible that says we're to be tender-hearted.
Amen.
I know I don't like it either, but it says that. We're not famous for being tender-hearted or kind, but we're supposed to be. Amen?
Amen.
So maybe that's something that needs a little work, men. Maybe you need a little work on kindness. Maybe we should get about 3 more rows up here when this is over. I'll amen myself pretty soon. You know it's coming. All right? And so, ladies, Bible says this, 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 15, but let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer. Well, that's good advice. But in that list, it says, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Again, this isn't exclusively for the women, but they seem to be more prone to being addicted to social media, things like that. If you're so curious about other people's lives that you can't stay off of that thing, you're out of order. And let alone gossip. Amen. And there's too much of that going on, and if that's what you're doing, you're out of order, sis. You're out of order, sir, if you're not kind. And let me tell you something, that goes both ways. Because I know some Christian ladies that are kind to everybody but their husband and their kids. So it goes both ways. Amen. Boy, I was somewhere, fellowship here. I mean, it's a struggle to be the last one out here, man. You guys hang around. And we're not trying to do that on purpose. We just like being in God's people. I mean, it's either here or the campground where nobody talks to us because we have scripture in our car. Amen. And so we fellowship, and you've noticed, she is a fellowshipping machine right there. And that's good. I'm glad I got a wife that likes being in church, and I like talking to you guys until it starts getting boring, and then I'm looking. But I'll fellowship. Here's where I'm going. So we're doing all that one time, or maybe more than once. I'm not looking at her. We're going, and she said something, and I responded kind of sharp. got a little short with her. I know none of you ever do that. But you know what she said to me? She said, she was right. She said, you don't talk to your friends that way.
Amen.
Yeah.
And some of us treat our friends better than we do our wife and kids.
Yes, that's right.
And that's out of order. And let me tell you something. Some of you ladies do too.
Yes.
Okay, I'm being fair. And we all need to get our house in order.
Amen.
For the testimony of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Say, well, that's not my personality. You need a new personality. He'll give you one if you let him. Amen, amen. Oh, say, that wasn't so bad. All right, well, let's just cut directly to meddling. It says this, men, in Psalm 101 and verse 3, I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. Now, I'm telling you something, and maybe predominantly men and young men, if you're looking at stuff on the internet you shouldn't be looking at, shame on you. I mean, I know Christian men that have gotten in trouble looking at pornography that would never stop at one of them pervert stores on the internet. But boy, in the privacy of your own home, one stinking click. David said, I will set no wicked thing. And if that's what you're doing, you're out of order, sir. And ladies, maybe, I don't know, but that's out of order.
Amen.
You hear me?
Amen.
And if that's what needs to be addressed, then you better dress it. Because that's what the Lord wants addressed.
Amen.
Amen. And I'll tell you something else. It says this in Proverbs 7 and verse 10. And behold, there met him a woman with the attire of an harlot. All right? Well, let me tell you something. And the attire that a harlot, that's a prostitute. Do you understand that?
Yes.
The attire of a harlot has a specific purpose.
Right.
And that purpose is to draw attention to herself in a way that incites lust in a man. And that's how they make their money. And I'll tell you, so I see stuff in churches these days that it blows my mind. My preacher once said, if it ain't for sale, why are you advertising it? Whatever happened to modesty? Isn't that still in the book? You know what the word modest means? It means not draw undue attention to yourself. Amen? So if you're doing that, if your wardrobe is controlled by the faggot fashion designers of this world, yeah, you need to get that in order. That ain't right. That ain't good. That ain't a good testimony. And the Bible said if a man looketh at a woman to lust after in his heart, he's committed adultery already with her. And that makes her guilty too. Amen.
Amen.
We're talking about getting it in order, folks. So unless you are a harlot, don't dress like one.
Amen.
Yes. 1 Corinthians 14 in verse 40 says this, let all things be done decently and in order. We're talking about out of order, but the book says that ain't the way it should be. The opposite of order is chaos. And chaos ought never be the description of a Christian home. But I know folks that are literally held hostage by their children in their home. They have figured out how to tell them. Children are not supposed to dictate the spirit
right.
of the home, no matter what that stinking world says.
Amen.
I would like to recommend an excellent book on child rearing. And Dr. Spock didn't write it. In the book I'm talking about, it says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it.
Amen.
Now, if you're ever going to do that, since they're paying way more attention to what you do and what they see than what you say and what they hear, if you're ever going to train up a child in the way he should go, you have to be going the way you should go yourself. And they may or may not follow. But if you're not going the way you should, you mark it down. There's a good chance they'll follow your bad example. That's just the nature of the flesh. Amen. Amen. And another verse that's real popular these days with me, Proverbs 22:15 says, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction will drive it far from him.
Amen.
Now those verses are in the Bible to help us raise young men and young women with integrity.
Yes.
To teach them right from wrong and consequences for action, appreciation for reward, for good conduct. All that's in there for a reason. And is it any marvel that the God of this world has everything going 180 degrees the wrong direction?
Amen.
Amen. We need to set our house in order, and I'm not advocating anything except for what the Bible says.
Yeah,
and you need wisdom and all that, especially in the day. I know that. Amen. But Hezekiah was told to set his house in order, and when my friend died, I started thinking, wow, what if he said that to me? Oh, it looks like he did in that book.
Amen.
Looks like he's saying it to you tonight in this message. And I said it in the beginning. Hezekiah walked in truth, walked before thee, told God in truth and with a perfect heart. But that's all great. But something evidently needed some spiritual attention for God to say, set your house in order. And you may have many things very much in order tonight. There's no doubt that you do. But you better ask yourself, would the Lord have to say that to you? Are there some areas that maybe you're rejoicing in what you got going right to the point you're not putting the emphasis on getting some of these loose ends
Amen.
Taken care of, and the Lord is putting his finger on them?
Amen.
Did something hit home, close to home,
Amen.
Tonight? Then let's deal with that.
Amen.
That's the purpose of all this thing.
Amen.
Is so that we can get right with God for our sake, for his glory, and for our testimony in a lost and dying world, starting at home. Set thine house. I'm going to tell you what, a lot of stuff is out of order. If you ask yourself with the Lord, if you answered yourself that the Lord might say that to you, I would suggest, like, start getting it in order tonight.
Yeah.
All right? And I'll close with this. If you're in here and you're not saved, you can have every detail in your life very, very much in order, and it won't matter one bit when you step into eternity.
Right.
You'll lift up your eyes, amen, in hell, torment and flame, and first thing you're going to know is you missed the deadline. You ever wonder where that phrase came from? Luke 16. And you ain't missed it yet. So the first thing needs to be got in order is to know that your sins are forgiven.
Yes.
That your sins are underneath the blood of Jesus Christ. The Bible said the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from all sin. There's a lot of things I don't know, and I'm still learning, but there's some things I do know, because they're black and white right there. And I'm glad I'm saved, and I'm glad he still saves. And if you're in here and you're not saved, you need to get saved.
Amen.
And we'll just help in any way we can. I noticed, man, after a couple of days in church, people know what to do. You need to, I like this expression, you need to pull the trigger on it. I mean, you just need to get it done. I don't pull triggers anymore. I want to make that clear. But I like the expression. Amen. Let's all stand. Set thine house in order. What needs some spiritual attention? Nothing? Maybe you need to think about lying. Because we all got things that need spiritual attention. Amen. I'll pray you talk to the Lord. before this thing goes in one ear and out the other and everything else that takes place when you get away from this environment. And it does, don't it?
Amen.
Preacher?
That was good preaching.
Amen.
In just a moment, we're going to sing number 243, There's Room at the Cross for You. But just a couple comments before we sing this song. Aren't you glad that Jesus Christ died for us?
Amen.
Amen.
Salvation is about what Jesus did for us and not what we do for Jesus.
Right.
Are you trusting Him or are you trusting yourself? It's not our faithfulness, it's His faithfulness.
Amen.
It's what Christ has done for us. And that is speaking to you, friend, if you haven't been saved or born again, if you haven't been reconciled with the Lord Jesus Christ, that is a message for you. But this message that Brother Dave brought us tonight was right out of the Bible.
Amen.
And it was right direct to the heart. He said he doesn't catch fish, but he apparently knows how to flay them. He apparently knows how to get the sword of the Spirit and cut up the fish, because if you didn't get cut tonight, you ain't a fish. I don't know what's wrong with you, but he definitely touched my heart. I appreciate that, Brother Dave. I appreciate good old straightforward preaching right out of the Bible. So if the Lord has touched you and has spoken to you and the sword of the Spirit has touched your heart, as Brother Dave mentioned, you just need to do what you need to do. And you need to get right with God and take care of it and put your house in order. Let's sing this song, and the Lord has spoken to you and you'd like to talk to somebody or you'd like to just take a moment to pray. Whatever it is the Lord's speaking to you tonight, you need to do it. So let's sing it out. There's room at the cross for you.
The cross upon which Jesus died.
Thankful that there is room and there's still time, we're still alive, to put our house in order. Lord, I pray that each and every one of us this evening would take that to heart, that we need to put our house in order. Lord, help us to do it. Help us to remain faithful to you. Help us to love you. Bless Brother Dave and Susan. Continue to bless them. Bless this meeting. And Lord, if anyone is not saved in the hearing of our voices this evening, may they come to know you as their Savior. And Lord, may we as believers be revived and repent of our sins and draw nigh to you. And Lord, really consider the day of our death and be prepared for it and have our house set in order. I thank you for the message tonight. I thank you for the blessing. Have mercy upon us now. In that name which is above every name, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Don't forget, tomorrow night at 7 o'clock, we're going to be here again. Bring somebody with you. Amen.
Amen.